Good morning. It's great to be in the Lord's house this morning, especially this Sunday before Thanksgiving. We are going to be looking at today the stewardship of Thanksgiving. And I came across a book I'd like to read to you this morning. And not the whole thing. I am going to read the whole thing, but it's short, is what I meant to say. It's short. It's called I Will Rejoice, and it is based on our text this morning. If you want to open your Bibles there, we're going to be in Psalm 118. And this morning we're going to look at that psalm. And just talk about it and see how it applies to this stewardship of Thanksgiving. Remember, this book was written for children, okay? In his name, I Will Rejoice. He says, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice in the early light and the good morning kiss and the hug so tight. I'll dress myself up, sit down in my seat, and give thanks to the Lord for the food that I eat. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice as I run and I play. Thank you, dear God, for this beautiful day. I sit at the table and eat up my lunch. I save a few bites for my teddy to munch. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice in a warm, cozy lap as I hear a good story before my noon nap. I'll lie down and dream about castles and kings, princes and dragons and with shimmering wings. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice in the evening light when my family is home, settled in for the night. We'll sit down and eat dinner and talk of the day. Then later we'll laugh as we wrestle and play. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice and get ready for bed. I'll snuggle down tight and lay down my head. I'll cuddle up close to my trusty old bear and give thanks for Jesus as we say our prayer. I'll give hugs and kisses for mom and then dad, and tomorrow again, I'll rejoice and be glad." Story comes from the 118th Psalm, and we have so many songs and so many things that come out of this 118th Psalm. This morning as we look at it, I would like for us to read together that 118th Psalm, and then we're going to look at some portions of it here this morning as we study it together. He says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress I call upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surround me. Yes, they surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surround me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I will not die but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, and he has given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, and I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let's pray together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, you truly are a great and awesome God. Father, thank you for your words that you have here in your holy book. And Father, we're just so thankful today that we can read them, we can study them. And Father, today we can look and we can see ways we can apply this to our lives. And Father, we just pray here today that your word would be spoken. That Father, that you would use me as your humble servant, and that you would be glorified in all that we say and do this day. We pray all these things in your Son's most precious and holy name. Amen. There's a YouTube video that circulated around, and it was from the Conan O'Brien show. And it is entitled, Everything's Amazing and Nobody's Happy. They had a guest comedian there that night. His name's Louis C.K., and he was making his rounds. Louis talks about how he was on a plane in flight, and it was one of the first flights that had Wi-Fi on the plane. And he said he was sitting there, and just a few minutes, settling down in the plane, there was a man in disgust, just griping and complaining about the Wi-Fi not working. And he looked at Conan and he said, how quickly this man, just a few moments ago, didn't even know that the Wi-Fi even existed on that flight, yet now he is in disgust. So how quickly the world owes him something that he didn't even know that existed 10 seconds before. And then he goes on and keeps talking about all these things, and he says, and people talk about their flight and how horrible the flight was. And they said, we didn't leave. We were 20 minutes late taking off. Then we sat on the runway for 40 minutes. Then he says mockingly, oh, really? Did they not see what incredible thing it is that we can fly like a bird? Do they partake in the miracle of human flight? Everyone on that plane should be giving glory to God for being able to be in the air without any wings of their own. Yet they complain and they complain. And they just keep on complaining. Isn't it interesting how we live our lives and we complain about everything? We're driving along, we're on our way to work, and the traffic slows down a little bit, and we begin to complain. We complain about everything. And even some things. I remember taking the megabus when I read that story about that Conan and Brian get on the megabus to take this little short trip down to Houston. And supposed to have Wi-Fi, and guess how much Wi-Fi I had? Not very much at all. And I was so frustrated. And then I really realized, what difference does it make? I paid $3 for the trip, and I didn't have any Wi-Fi. I need to just be thankful for the things that I do have. So we look at this text here this morning, and how we look at how thankful we should be. Thankfulness is the vaccine that we need for our lives. It is the antitoxin, it's the antiseptic that every person needs to protect them from spiritual infection. He who receives a benefit with gratitude, says the Roman philosopher, repays the first installment on his own debt. In our text here today, the psalmist tells us several things about thanksgiving. Look there in that first verse. First, he tells us the object. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. As James tells us, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. James 1:17. God owns all things. And that's what we've been talking about in this series, about Stewardship 360, that everything belongs to God, and that God has given us these things and allowed us to have these things so that we can be good stewards of the things that he has given us. And so we need to remember that God owns everything, and that he is the one that deserves our thanks. The second thing the psalmist tells us is that it's reasonableness. He says, for it is good. The abundance of his blessings flows naturally out of the genuineness of his character, and that God deserves the thanks that we give him because he is good. And the third thing the psalmist tells us is our motivation for doing this. And he says, his mercy endures forever. See, this note is sounded throughout this psalm. A lot of people don't know what this psalm really was for. Some say it was for leading up to Passover. There's all types of different things. But without a doubt, it was a psalm that they sang in their worship service. And they wanted to give thanks and just praise God for how good he is. And they did this. And this is also well known for that messianic passage that's in this. So this morning, as we think about Thanksgiving. What about Thanksgiving? Gratitude is a grace that's given by God, and we need to be grateful for the things that we do have. Like all gifts, we can take it or we can leave it. What do we do with the things that we do have? We can use it or we can neglect it. In this, in all good things, we have a stewardship. So this morning, let's look at how we can be good stewards of Thanksgiving. First, I want us to see our stewardship of Thanksgiving must be constant. It must be unwavering. We should give thanks at all times in every circumstances that we live in. At Mandeville Encampment in Louisiana, there was a preacher that went one time there and did a service. And each morning he would go there, and they at the beginning, before breakfast, they would come together and they would have a 30-minute service before they would ever eat breakfast. And there was a great deal of griping and groaning from all the young people that were supposed to be there so early in the morning. Why do we have to come to a Bible study before breakfast? But this speaker, he spoke on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, in everything give thanks. And so he challenged those young people that day, that everything we do that day, let's give thanks about everything. And he challenged them to do that. So guess what? The young people decided that they would do it for that day. When the table waiter came and brought their food at breakfast that morning, they thanked him for doing that. When a speaker brought a message, they would go up to the speaker afterwards and thank him for doing that. When the worship leader would lead a song, and afterwards they would go up to him and thank him for that. When they went to athletics and there was a coach that came and he led them in sports and activities, they thanked them. They spent the entire day just thanking each and every one of them for what they did. For a day, this miracle remade this entire place. By the time of that evening meal, the whole encampment was so bubbly with excitement because the kids were getting into it and they felt better and better. The more they were thankful to the others for what they did. There was a beneficiary. Everyone felt better about themselves. By the time it was over, it was just an exciting feeling that ran through that entire camp. Why should we not do this constantly? Why not do this all the time? Look for the good things instead of all the negative things that happen in our lives. See, in times of prosperity, we need to give thanks. And that's probably the easiest one, right? When things are going well, when we have all the things we want, when everything is going our way, we need to give thanks. And sometimes that's quite easy. But sometimes in our prosperity, we forget. And then we need to look at ourselves and we need to ask ourselves the question, are we thankful? God is giving us this. Are we using it? Are we using it? And then in times of adversity, we need to give thanks. Now, that's a little bit more difficult, isn't it? When bad things are going on in our lives, and then we need to give thanks in everything, even when things aren't going our way. Some will say that this was the hardest one of all, to try to give thanks to God when things aren't going so well. The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, over in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, Habakkuk is a choice example. In the midst of the utter desolation God had given him, he gives thanks. Listen to what he says. For though the fig tree shall not flourish, neither shall fruit be in the vines, The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no fold. And there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in Jehovah. I will joy in the Lord of my salvation. Habakkuk, even though all the things around him was going wrong, he still would praise God. And that's what we need to do. To be good stewards of our thanksgiving, we need to be constant in the good times and in the not so good times. And see, that is thanksgiving. That's what thanksgiving is all about. I love the hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God," was written when the news of the end of the 30-year war was announced. Even though the population had been decimated by a terrible plague, which left scarcely a household that didn't have at least one person dead in that household. When our pilgrim forefathers, when they came together for that very first Thanksgiving, things weren't so good. It still was dark. They still were thankful, even in these difficult times. And the third way that we can be thankful, that so it's consistent, in times of doubt, when we have doubts in our lives. See, this is also a very difficult time as well, when we doubt. But by God's help, we can do it in those times as well. No matter how dark the day is or how heavy the clouds are outside, we can still give thanks to God. We know that high above the clouds, even though it is dark and gloomy today, we know that the sun is still shining above those clouds. We know that there is one who knows the way. In his gospel, John tells us that before the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus asked Philip where they could buy bread so that they could eat. And John adds parenthetically this, "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." He already knew what he was going to do, but he wanted them to understand. Thank God for the one in the universe who knows everything, who has everything under his control. And we know that there is a way that is right and true, and that the way will win in the end. Even in our darkest hour, we know that God has already won this battle. Satan is not going to win this battle. God is going to win this battle. So in our times of prosperities, in our times of hardships, in our times of doubt, we need to constantly give thanks to God. And also, our stewards of thanksgiving, we must be discerning. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, and over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says this, "Forgetting those things which are behind." He did not mean that he wants to forget everything. He is saying that his memory is selective. He chooses the things that he is going to remember. And he could sit back and he could think about all those terrible things, all those boat wrecks and those times they beat him and cast him out of the city, how the Jews tried to stop him at every turn, how they stoned him and left him for dead. He could remember all those things. He could remember about the Damascus Road and that experience where he lost his sight and then miraculously was given back to him. He could focus on the negative parts of those, but he chooses to remember the positive things, the things that he can be thankful to God for. And that's what we need to do in our own lives. We need to constantly be discerning and remember the things that God wants us to remember. We can remember the best of our past. Think about the things that have happened in our past. We can sit here this morning and we can dwell on the terrible things that have happened to us and to bring us in the point we are today. We can sit back and think about how terrible it was and concentrate on those bad, negative things. Or we can start looking towards the future and we need to remember the good things about what has happened in our past. Dr. Alex White of Edinburgh was listening one day to the long list of ills that one of his church members was giving him. He listened to this recital of this long, long list of all the terrible, terrible things that were happening in her life. And then he said to her very kindly, "Mind you, forget not all the benefits." And my friends, we need to remember all of the good things that happens in our past. And then true thanksgiving seeks blessings in today, the blessings of our present. Ours is a day of uncertainty and confusion and war and strife and all types of injustices going about the world. If you sit and watch the television programs about the news, what the news are bringing to us, and you think about all the terrible things that are going on around us. You know, we could sit there and we could just say, oh, what is the use? But we need to see that there are blessings in our presence. Instead of bemoaning our lot, we should say, what a day, what a blessed day it is to be alive. Search and see. See, such turbulent volcanic times has been been through all ages of history. One of the church fathers, Polycarp, he was a disciple of John. He lived in, he was born about AD 70, about 40 years after Jesus' death. He was burned at the stake at the age of 86 because he would not denounce his faith. He would not swear by the fortune of Caesar. And there's a great story talking about, you know, Christ never denied me for these 86 years. Why would I deny him today? And he lost his life because of his faith. We also go and look towards the future. We need to look at the future. Even more important, true thanksgiving undergirds our future. Perhaps the most remarkable of the recorded prayers of Jesus is the prayer that he prayed at the tomb of Lazarus. And when he prayed there, he went there. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. He prayed to the Father, not in the present tense, but in the past tense. He thanked God for what God was about to do as though it had already taken place. He says this, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. He prayed that way. Our faith can never compare with the faith of Jesus, but we need to understand the promises that he makes to us. And we need to understand that he will keep every promise he has made to us. And we can thank God for what he will do because of those promises. In this material world, science promises us some wonderful things. The same is true in the realm of general knowledge. If we desire, he will so bless us in the realm of the Spirit because God will keep his promises. And our stewardship of thanksgiving must also be vocal. He says there in Psalms 107, verse 2, he says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, the psalmist cried. And should we not also testify of his goodness and love? Returning from a trip, this preacher came, and as he came into Honolulu, Hawaii, from being in other parts of the world, what does customs always ask you? Do you have anything to declare? And of course, what they were meaning is, if you have anything that you need to pay customs on, you need to tell us about it at this moment, and you need to pay those customs that the United States is going to collect. But the question is interesting, spiritually interpreted. Have you anything to declare? Well, do you here today? What is there in your material and spiritual luggage of your life that you need to declare? To declare with thanksgiving unto God. What is it in your life today that you are thankful for? That you are ready to declare? Robert Louis Stevenson, in pain much of his life, was sure that man who had forgotten to be thankful had fallen asleep in life. Thousands today who are not thankful to God are walking around asleep. We need to be thankful. There's some research that's been done. A growing body of research has tied an attitude of gratitude with a number of positive emotional and physical health benefits. In an article, it summarized the research. Adults who frequently feel grateful have more energy, more optimism, more social connections, and more happiness than those who do not, according to the studies conducted over the past decade. They're also less likely to be depressed, envious, greedy, or alcoholics. They earn more money, They sleep more soundly, they exercise more regularly, and have greater resistance to viral infections. Now, researchers are also finding that gratitude brings similar results, similar benefits in children and adolescents. Kids who feel and act grateful tend to be less materialistic, get better grades, set higher goals, complain fewer headaches and stomach aches, and feel more satisfied with their friends, their family, schools, than most who don't. The researchers conclude this. A lot of those findings are things we learned in kindergarten or from grandmothers who have told us how. But now we have scientific evidence that shows us that we need to be thankful. The important thing for each of us to remember is that we need not leave our Thanksgiving on the Thanksgiving table. This morning we're going to come to a time of decision. And the question is for us here this morning, are we thankful people? Are we thankful for the things that we have in our lives? Are we thankful for Jesus who came and died for us? He came willingly and died on the cross so that we can have a remedy for our sin problem. Maybe there's some here this morning that need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe this morning you're ready to make him your Lord. That means you're going to make him absolute king of your life. Maybe some are ready to repent of their sins and turn to him today. And we need to be thankful that Jesus came and he died for us. And maybe there's some here this morning that have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's hard to be thankful for something you don't possess. And maybe this morning you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe there's others here this morning that need to just make some changes to your life. And maybe you are the person that's not very thankful for the things you have, not very grateful. And maybe there's this negative energy with you all the time. Everywhere you go, you only see the bad things, the things that are not the way that you think they should be. Maybe this morning you need to make some changes in that. Maybe from right where you're sitting, right where you're standing here today, you need to make some changes. We're going to give you an opportunity to make those changes here today as we sing our hymn of decision. But whatever it is, let's not leave this place. Whether it is a decision to make changes in your life, maybe it's to come and make this your church home, whatever it is, don't leave without making that decision here today. Please stand with me as we sing.